Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, you are mighty to save. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to save all people. Open our hearts and minds to have a better grasp of your opportunity and your desire for all people to be part of your heavenly feast. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Have any of you ever crashed a wedding? I know there was a movie about that a few years back, and just the thought of finding a wedding. When my sister got married, she got married in Omaha, Nebraska, and it was at one of those wedding reception halls where they had four big rooms side by side, and I think at least three of those all had wedding receptions in. And so, you know, you would leave Amy's reception, and you kind of peek in down the hall, and ooh, they have a nicer cake. Ooh, this DJ's a little bit better. Ooh, open bar. Whatever it might be, it's like it's the opportunity to have free food or free drink and just to have fun. But the whole notion of crashing somebody's moment of joy when you're not invited, I was asking around the office if anybody had ever crashed a wedding. And Lindsay, our secretary, said she and her husband did. And they followed this little group, and they got to this. It was a beautiful reception. And she was dressed for the part. Her husband was wearing camo pants, and so he kind of stood out. And about halfway through the dancing, the mother-in-law came up and said, "Excuse me, are you supposed to be here?" And they ran, right? And so for the wedding crashers, it can be a lot of fun. But how do you think the people in the wedding feel when somebody crashes that wedding? Pretty upset, pretty angry, because in that wedding, you've invited your friends and your family to celebrate with you, to be a part of this special day. It's invitation only. Come, celebrate the joy that we have. Celebrate together. There's people that are in, there's people who are out, people who you know, people who you don't know. Come, my friends, celebrate with me. No wedding crashers here. I think about the book of Acts. Right after the Gospels, Jesus had died, he had risen from the dead, he ascended to heaven, and he told his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them and letting them follow him to the very ends of this world. And the disciples were doing that. They went and they shared this good news that Jesus had risen from the dead, that there was life and forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ and him alone. But after centuries of Jewish living and thought, their mentality was locked into this mindset that the party was for Jews first. And that if anybody from outside the Jewish nation to become a Christian, they had to become a Jew first with all the rites and all the practices and all the rituals. That was their expectation, that God was doing this only through the Jewish nation, that Jesus would come for all. But Peter had an experience that made him question this, that made him think that maybe something different was going on. Acts 10 and 11, Peter tells this story a couple of times, but Peter goes and he has this conversation with Cornelius, and now he and these six witnesses come back to the brothers in Jerusalem, and they say that the Gentiles had received the word of God. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's a good thing, right? That's exciting. You know, the word of God was spreading. People were believing in Jesus Christ. But when the people in Jerusalem heard this, God's word says that the circumcised believers, they criticized him. They said, "Why in the world were you in the house of the uncircumcised men? Why in the world would you eat with them?" It's like they forgot that the word of God came to them, right? Why? Don't you understand? Those Gentiles are on the outside, and they're trying to crash our wedding. They're trying to crash our resurrection party. It's kind of like if Jesus, any Star Wars fans out here? If Jesus told you to go to Jabba the Hutt, okay, and say, I'm going to send you to the vilest, you know, bounty hunter, the vilest being in all of the existence, go convert Jabba the Hutt. Would you? Or would you say, he's beyond God's grace? Or, he's a pretty bad dude, right? But that's what the Gentiles kind of were like in the eyes of the Jews, that they were the bad people, a different way of life. They were the Jabba the Hutts of the world. Why would God want them to be part of the party? And so Peter, all he can say is, this is what happened. This is what I experienced. This is what God was doing. Peter said, pull up a chair. I'm going to tell you a story. And I think at the heart of our Christian life, the heart of our Christian faith, it's about the way that we experience God. It's about the way that God changes us and transforms us, the way that we experience him in baptism, in worship, in creation, in our work, in our life, that one of the best ways that we can do to say what God is doing is to tell our story about what God has done in our life. And so Peter goes on and tells his story that there was this vision and this sheet fell down from heaven and all sorts of creatures were in this sheet. And God said to Peter, get up, kill, cook it, eat it. And all these things were against what Peter had ever taught or what he had ever learned. And so Peter's like, I don't think so. I've never defiled myself eating these things. These animals would make a person, in the Jewish thought, unclean, unable to come before the presence of God. But God told Peter a second thing. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Do you think that was easy for Peter to take in? This is the way he lived his whole life, all right? It's like sometimes in this world, our society today, it makes me funny. Sometimes people will say, well, coffee's bad for you. And then about 5 years later, well, coffee's good for you, all right? Or they'll say, well, eggs are bad for you. And then about 10 years later, they say what? Eggs are good for you, right? It's confusing, but this is a whole lifestyle. The Jewish lifestyle was all about what they ate and what they did. And now God is saying, I'm doing something new. And so God didn't tell this to Peter just one time. This happened how many times? Three times, all right? It's kind of sometimes it takes, have you ever heard of 2x4 ministry? You take a 2x4 and knock somebody off the side of the head, all right? Just to knock some sense into him. It took God to say, hey, Peter, I'm doing something. I'm knocking some sense into you, not just once, but three times. I'm doing something new. And the very next thing, people came and got Peter. And they took him to the house of a Roman, Cornelius. And there in that house, Peter preached and taught them the good news about Jesus. And as he was teaching, the Holy Spirit came down on them as they had at the beginning. And the beginning was at Pentecost. That just like the Holy Spirit filled them on that day of Pentecost, now they were filling not Jews, but who did the Holy Spirit fall down on? Gentiles. Whoa, this is so exciting. And so Peter is telling this story in Jerusalem, how God, his word, and the Spirit came to even the Gentiles. And so Peter is saying, well, if God has given them the same gift as he gave us, who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, who am I to think that I should oppose God? God is doing something here. And so when the people in Jerusalem heard what God was doing, they heard about the experience of Peter, of God working through him, they praised God and said, God has granted life even to who? Even to the Gentiles. All right, read this as even to Jabba the Hutt. All right, even to the Gentiles. God's grace has come to them. And the truth is, wasn't this God's plan all along? That all nations be blessed through the ancestor of Abraham. That all nations, all peoples would be blessed believing in Jesus Christ. Because on the cross, did Jesus die for the Jews?
Yeah.
Did Jesus die for the Gentiles?
Yep.
All right. Did Jesus die for the whole world? Yes. All people, Jesus died at the cross. Because the truth is, as people, we're all in the same boat. We're all in sinners. We're all in sinners, and we all need a Savior. We're all sinners who, without a Savior, would be dead in our sin now and for all eternity. And so I want you to remember that Jesus died for all. Salvation. This was God's idea, God's program, God's doing. But I think this is so important. God just doesn't do it, but he uses who in the process? Us. You? God can use you? Do you believe it? Yes. God is calling you to share his word with all people. That Jesus died, he rose again, that all might have forgiveness and life. So I want to end with these two questions. I know kind of, you know, racism is a hot topic right now in our world. But I think honestly, if we look at ourselves, and sometimes when we encounter people who are different than us, kind of like the pictures that Annie was showing in the children's message, are there barriers that we put up against other people? Ways that we look or treat people differently because of the color of their skin, the way that they dress? Because I believe God looks at all people the same way. He looks at all people with the value that he sent his son Jesus to die so that they might be saved. And so whether we're white or black or pink, or God says, I want you to be a part of my family, to crash the wedding, if you will, to be a part of this feast in heaven forever. And I want to challenge you also to think about, what is your story? What is your experience of Jesus Christ? How has he changed your heart and your life that you can tell somebody, well, let me just tell you what Jesus has done for me. How that peace makes it different in my life. How I'm more loving than I used to be. How I can forgive and let go of hurts. And I couldn't do that without Jesus Christ. How he has set you free from addictions. How he has brought you into a family where you can belong and be known. What is your story? Are you ready to share it? Because God is going to use you to make all disciples of all nations. May God use us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that's active in this world today. Lord, you have a plan and a purpose that all people may be saved. But Lord, sometimes you call us and you send us, but we sit on our hands and we say, no, not me. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for all the ways you have touched our lives and to be ready for each opportunity to share our faith for the hope that we have, that our lives may point others to Jesus. In our homes, in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our communities, that more and more people might know Jesus Christ and that heaven may be a more crowded place. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. At this time, we have a great opportunity to respond to God's gift for us as our offering is gathered. We give freely of what we have received. Also, at the end of each pew is a burgundy friendship pad. We ask that members and guests today may sign that and pass that down. We'd appreciate that. Thank you so much.